Hey everyone, Mercedes here. I'm so excited to share with you the Lucky Few podcast will be headlining at Dear Mom Conference. Join us on November 3rd in Orem, Utah for our first official live event. Grab your tickets today at dearmomconference.com.
Hey friends, welcome to the Lucky Few podcast, where we are shifting the narrative by shouting the worth of people with Down syndrome. This is Micah,
Mercedes,
and Heather.
And today we are excited to keep the conversation on inclusion going with Kristen Enriquez, who joined us last week and dropped the mic with that one quote that we need to get on a t-shirt for Mercedes.
Yes, please.
Inclusion, it's not a favor. It's a civil right, y'all.
Civil right.
What?
How long can we hold it? So in case you are just joining us, you should go back and listen to the first episode. But let us remind you who Kristen is. She is an inclusion expert and educational consultant. She has the unique perspective of both an educator and a mom because she's had this long career in the field of special education, and she has a 10-year-old son with Down syndrome. So last week, we focused on our conversation on inclusion from an educator's perspective. And today, we're going to chat about our roles as parents. And as she proved to us last week, Kristen has so much to teach us. So we are excited you're here for the Lucky Few podcast. Guys, how great was last week with Kristen?
So good.
It was so good. We're off to a really good start.
Yes. Yes. So I want to know, what is your biggest takeaway from last week? What can you not stop thinking about?
So many things. And I also have talked to many, well, not many. I met with a parent today I said about IEPs, and I said to her, listen to this podcast. It just came out. And we are going to talk about it. I mean, the thing you just said, that we're going to put on a t-shirt, that inclusion is not a favor, it's a civil right.
Yes.
And that our kids don't need to earn their way into a classroom, that it's their right. Mm-hmm. And I think all the time with Macy, and we talked about this a little tiny bit, but especially with Mason, that academically she's just not where her peers are. And I feel like everyone, all the pressure around me, it's like she needs to be doing A, B, C, and D in order to be in an inclusive setting. But no, she's walking, breathing, laughing, whatever. She has the right to be in an inclusive setting. She doesn't have to earn her way there.
What about you, Mercedes? What did it make you start thinking about?
I love that part when she talked to us about how she doesn't particularly use the word inclusion. She uses access and opportunity. And I loved that, because I do feel like you say inclusion and it's like, like it's like almost like an annoying stab maybe on the other side for like the school. They're just like, annoying, you know, but access and opportunity. I mean, you can't get annoyed with that. That is true of every student that goes to school. They need access and opportunity. So that stuck with me.
I am so excited that Kristen is here with us again today. And we are going to go talk some more and learn some more. But before we chat with her, let's take a moment for a word from our sponsor.
Today, the Lucky Few podcast is sponsored by our good friends over at Love Every, where playtime is thoughtfully crafted by experts for your baby's developing brain. Stick around to find out about a special deal Love Every is offering later in the episode.
All right. We're bringing it back to Kristen, who we just introduced a second ago. Kristen, we are so thankful that we had you on the show last week. And, you know, I feel like we were looking at inclusion and inclusive practices from kind of a wide educator's lens. And one of the things we would love to do today is just narrow it down for us and for the parents who are listening at home. We are, you know, so many of us have sat through workshops. We've read what we can find on the internet, but it still can feel so overwhelming to go into an IEP meeting and to prepare for it. And what we would love to talk to you about is just what are the practical things that we should be doing? And before we do that, would you remind any of our listeners who didn't hear the first episode, just a little reminder of what you do and about your son, Sevi?
So I am a mom of four. I have a middle schooler, and then I have three boys. Sevi is 10. He has Down syndrome. He has a heart condition, and he has a mild hearing loss. I have a six-year-old who has no genetic issues. However, he suffers from middle child syndrome terribly.
One of those.
Same.
And I have a 3-year-old who just thinks, you know, life is a party. And my 12-year-old actually was born as a preemie. And so she had more early intervention services than Sevi.
Oh, wow.
When she was little, and is been real interesting to see that play out, and how now she just kind of suffers from some health issues. She's got chronic asthma, eczema, and a life-threatening food allergy. So living with that kind of gives you a different perspective. But as a professional, when I'm not with them, I do some consulting through my business, Sevi Smile. I have a long history in education, both as a general ed teacher, a special ed teacher, and an administrator. And these days, I get the amazing privilege to coach parents and do professional development for educators, and also work directly with kids, mm-hmm. mostly who have Down syndrome.
So you are the perfect person to tell us what to do. And we're all just desperate to know. Yeah. So can you start with, you know, as we talked about last week, we come into these IEP meetings knowing from what we've read and heard that inclusion is best for our children. And then we can get into those meetings and be a deer in headlights. How do we prepare? How do we, what are the practical things we can do to help get started, especially for those of us whose kids are little and we're just looking to, you know, they're just turning three, we're just going into pre-K. How do we get started?
Yeah. I think that's, you know, that's the key of it, is the preparation. You know, what you said is about preparation. And I know that it's a lot of work, and sometimes it kind of feels unfair, but this is really what we need to do because we're asking a system to take on, some additional needs for our kids, which is supported in the law, and we're able to get those things, thankfully, through public education. But we have to realize that those people have never had our child before, and they don't know what we know. So we really need to be prepared to give them all the information that they need to be able to do that as effectively as possible. So one of the things that I first encourage families to do, it's really hard, especially for when we're dealing with different personalities and people who feel like, well, I can't do that, or I don't feel comfortable doing it. But you have to find your voice. You have to find your voice, and you have to use it in support of your child. I think the key that I try to tell parents is that go into the IEP thinking that this is not the district's meeting. The district hosts the meeting. The district has all the forms. The district, you know, controls certain things and the way it happens. But in its essence, it's not a district meeting. It's your child's meeting. And you are the person best positioned to represent your child. And so you have to take control of that meeting. And if you're not able to do that, to bring someone with you who can help you do that. Because I find that when you allow yourself, when you're not able to set the course of the way you want it to happen, that's where we get influenced, and then we start second guessing. And it's emotional. I mean, these meetings are not easy. You know, they're emotional. You've got all these people and they're talking about your kids, and it's a deficit model. You know, special education is a deficit model. We're not going to change that. That is the system. Mm-hmm. So we need to learn to work within the system as best we can to get where we need to be.
I have a question. This is maybe a silly one, but I just want to get your perspective on this. How do you feel about when moms or dads come in with goodies and all the extras to a IEP? Is that a silly question? But no, I just always want to know.
Yes, I like that question. Good question.
You know, I think that tokens of appreciation are always nice. They're not expected, but certainly they're appreciated. But honestly, as a former educator and a former admin, I would rather families come in having prepared information that we need and really truly be ready to engage in the conversation, because this stuff is hard, right? It takes a lot of commitment and a lot of conversation, and we're not always going to get it right the first time. So when I see the treats but I don't see the other piece, that is a kind of a misstep for me, because I would rather they put their energies into the work that needs to be done so that we can all figure out how we're going to go forward. But I do think that people always appreciate, you know, these tokens of appreciation. And as long as it's genuine, then it's going to be appreciated.
Okay.
Do you think there's ever a time and place for our kiddos with Down syndrome to be in a separate class? And let me say also that if we're in a district that isn't, that has an adoptive inclusive practices where they are having a self-contained special education classroom that they'd like our students to be in for most of the day, and then mainstream or pull out for music and PE and whatever it might be. Do you think there's ever a time that that is what we should do specifically for kids with Down syndrome?
So I think that is a very, very personal decision. If you ask me what the research says, the research doesn't support it. Okay. But if you ask me, when parents are trying to decide what is best for my child is an individual, what do I need to do, or which route should I take? I think it's a very personal decision. And it's really hard for me to say a yes or a no to that. However, I think that what we need to keep in place is that we need to make sure that we're asking the questions, that we are expecting people who are making these determinations to be able to defend their position, you know, to really give us the why, and to help us feel comfortable understanding what this separate environment is going to be able to offer my child and how it's going to be able to help my child get to where I want them to be. As a parent, where I want them to be, not where the school wants them to be. Different than or better than going to school with their gen ed peers could. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes we get talked out of things because there are so many people who are on the same page if they're trying to convince us, you know, to do something different than what our heart is telling us. Right. And we really need to hold tight to our vision for our kids. And we need to remember that nobody has the right to change our vision except for us or maybe our kid, you know, when they get older. Right. But nobody else has the right to change that. So if what they're saying they think is the right thing is not in line with your vision, then I would take a moment to really reflect on that and really be clear and ask the difficult questions. And you may not be prepared for that in the moment. So it's okay to take a break, you know, and come back and prepare yourself and figure out, you know, what it is you need to collect, what information to be able to engage in that conversation.
Mm. That's good.
I think there were a couple of things along those lines that really helped me in our second IEP, which we went back because we didn't agree the first time. And I had written down in the meantime, like, my vision for Ace's life. Yep. And just having it in front of me where I could come back to it and just even for my own mind and my own heart, mm-hmm. as these people around me are telling me a different thing, to go, actually, no, this is my vision for him, and this is the way that I see mm-hmm. is going to be best for him. And the other thing that really helped me was talking to my friend Jamie, who's a special ed attorney, and she was telling me just in that moment in the meeting that whenever we were discussing the goals and how they were feeling like, no, Ace can meet this particular goal in a special day class is or the only way he'll meet it, or that was kind of the assumption that was being said, was to go specifically through them and say, can he meet this goal of learning to climb up and down the stairs in an inclusive setting? And they would say, well, yeah, he can. And, you know, can he meet this goal of, you know, using a spoon to eat in an inclusive setting? Well, yes, you know, and so I was able to kind of go through all these goals and get a yes. And of course, at the end, I still didn't get my way, and they were still like, but he has so many needs and he needs to go into this class. But it was so confirming, and I knew that we were walking away with the upper hand in that meeting just because my friend had helped me have those questions ready.
Yeah, I think that's really important, because I think it's really about not what is the different setting, but it's about what needs to happen in the general ed setting for us to address this need.
Yeah.
What needs to happen? That's where the discussion should be, you know, on all the supports and services that are going to happen. My ideal world, we wouldn't spend all this time talking about placement. We would spend all of our time talking about what supports and services are going to be in place to make the placement effective.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's so good.
Mm-hmm. I had something.
Oh. Heather's thinking.
The other thing I think that I would remind people is that, you know, the system supports us only looking at a year from now, right? This IEP is the plan for the next year. But we always have to remember as parents that it's not about what's going to happen in the next year, right? We're in it for life, right? What's the life going to look like? So right. That vision has to be based on what I want my child to be achieving in their life. What is the vision for their outcome in life? And then this year is what needs to happen in this year to help them along that path, because you do not end up in the same place when you take a different path.
Okay, Kristen, I feel like you've said so many things we need to make into a t-shirt.
Yes,
these t-shirts. Yes. So
let's talk to your friends about that.
Right? We know some people.
We know people.
You have friends, Heather.
I like how you said that in the research shows that inclusion is best, but it, you know, parents are going to do what works best for them, which I always agree with that. But I think that brings up an important point, that how important data is. Mm-hmm. And when you are walking into a school, that you can say, yes, you feel this way because this is how it's always been. Or even as a parent, I'm getting emotional. I'm feeling emotional, but let's go back to what are the facts, right? Like, what does the data say? Do you have those things in front of you that you would like to share, some of those pieces of data? And if not, we can for sure put them in the show notes. But I guess the question is, what can you equip our listeners with that helps them like a tool for when they step into a classroom that doesn't understand why inclusion or inclusive practices would be best for their kid?
Well, I think we definitely have provisions in the law. So if you look at what the law actually doesn't say anything about inclusion. What it talks about is that any and all supports will be put in the least restrictive environment. So we've got that. So highlighting that, and if you haven't tried that first, it's really hard to prove that that can't be effective if we haven't tried it. So that's the law piece. Then having pieces of research, I am more than happy to, you know, help you come up with a list of things that, you know, are research-based, because there really is not one research study out there that says that being with your general ed peers is less successful than being in a segregated setting. So there are a number of things that we could look at to have people look at that. I know that Think Inclusive has a lot of research studies on there, and I can provide that link to you with no problem. And then also Down Syndrome Education International is kind of my go-to for looking at research, because they've just been doing it for so long, and it is specific to Down syndrome. You know, but I think that also we can't underestimate the importance of our own personal data. And with smartphones these days, it's easier than ever to take a picture or to take a video and be prepared to show those at the IEP or during the assessment, because that is true data, right? Data doesn't have to be, you know, a tally chart or a pie graph. It's just information. And our story is powerful. You know, the data that we have through our story is really powerful. And if we can give vision to that for everyone else, so it's not just what I'm saying, but let me show you examples of how this works. Mm-hmm. I think that that is convincing.
So when you say that, Kristen, you mean like coming into the meeting going, here's an example of, you know, if for instance, ACE didn't really cooperate with stacking blocks in the testing, but I have a video of him stacking blocks. Is that the kind of thing you mean?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I take pictures of us doing homework, more pictures of homework than I ever thought.
I love that idea. It's a good idea.
But it's powerful, you know, when I can send that to the team and say, he is able to do it, but this is what I had to put in place in order for him to show that.
That's awesome.
Then they have exactly what they need to be able to do that in school. And it's a team, right? Sometimes they're going to figure it out and I'm going to need to know. And sometimes I'm going to figure it out and they're going to need to know. No one's expecting any one person to have the answer right all the time.
Right. I love that.
Yeah.
And I love that picture idea, because Sunflower has just started making happy faces and drawing people. But it doesn't come out all the time.
Right.
Right.
But I took a picture one time and I haven't seen it since, but like, that's great. I should show her TK teacher like this, because I remember seeing at back to school night, there was draw yourself, and like seeing all the kiddos had drawn a picture of themselves, and it looks all across the board. But Sunny's, it was just a scribble, you know, and right. I'm excited to be able to be like, okay, maybe it's a scribble that day.
Right.
But I have a picture.
Progress.
Yeah, there is progress, you know?
Right.
I like that.
I love that. And I feel like there's just so many examples of that. Mm-hmm. I felt like I wasn't being believed at our meeting, because I was saying how many signs Ace has. And when they tested him, he sat there and stared at them.
Totally.
And and so, yeah, if I could have come in and had a video of him signing.
I know.
That would have been awesome.
Right.
Kristen, you're a genius.
Yes, I know.
I told you.
It's these practicalities that we just need to be told. It's like, yes, you are a genius. I video everything. And with Instagram, I take pictures constantly.
Right.
So that's genius.
Kristen, we cannot thank you enough. This is definitely a topic I'm sure we will revisit. Maybe every season.
Right.
Because it feels really important, and it's always changing and always growing. And I know that you have so many more resources. So listeners, we are going to have 1 million links on our website to all the things you could ever want to know. Okay. We're going to do our best. Kristen, before we leave, is there anything else that you want to tell us or say on the topic or anything in life, really?
I think that that issue of really just knowing that you have the law and knowing you have research on your side and really not allowing anybody to change your vision and communicate that vision. Like, people need to know, you know, they need to know. And if we don't tell them, they can't possibly know. So being really upfront and being really forthcoming and acting on a platform of no surprises. Mm-hmm. Cause a lot of times people will say, well, if I tell them, then they're going to decide this or that, or they're going to prepare. Well, the reality is they're going to do that anyway,
right.
But you show team spirit, you know, when you don't surprise anybody, when you give them a heads up, because this isn't about catching anybody doing something wrong.
Right.
This is about working together to try to figure out how it works. And so if you can set your mindset, you know, that way, I think that you have a much better chance at having your information be received, well received. They may still not agree, but when they disagree, it will be much more respectful. And I think it will feel much more, it will feel better knowing that you did everything that you could. And then at that point, you have to move forward in a way that you feel meets the needs of your family and the needs of your child.
Okay.
Mm. I
love
that.
Girl.
Yes.
Preach it.
Kristen, we have loved having you on these two episodes. We've loved it so much. Thank you for being with us. We are gonna hop away for a little word from our sponsor, and then we'll be back with our favorite part of the episode. good news.
Mercedes. Good news.
Here's a word from our sponsor.
We are so pumped. Love Every is sponsoring the show this month. Their products are gorgeous, as are their models, because I have to brag here, Ace is one of them.
He's so cute.
Thank you.
I received a Love Every play tent, and it is so beautifully made. Their wood, sleek, simple design, I think best fits your child's development at the age as a baby. And as aesthetically pleasing as it looks, you want to keep it up in your house. You know, as a mom, you're like, it doesn't go with the plastic ones, the bright colors, doesn't go. The play tent is beautifully handcrafted and goes with your style, guaranteed.
I love that. And they have these things that are called play kits that are curated basically for your child's age from birth up until a year. And the one that the box that we have is for 11 to 12 month old, and the toys are amazing. They're all matched developmentally to where your child is at, and you can receive these in the mail basically every month. So such a great gift to give also to your friends.
Yeah. And here's why I love them the most. They're actually serious about every baby, and that's why they have kids with different abilities in their marketing images, like my Ace face, because they really do believe that all of our kids matter, and they want to work with parents who are walking into a new diagnosis and get these toys right. So you can let them know your concerns, and they'll work with you to make sure the kids are on track. Let them know you're a Lucky Few listener, and you'll get 10% off your subscription to the play kits or $10 off a tent. Just use the code THELUCKYFEW at checkout and find out why they're being praised from the pages of Pop Sugar to People Magazine to Real Simple. All right, we are back, Lucky Few listeners, and it is time for
some good news. It's time for some good news. This is where I'm going down with the song to the good today. Boom, boom, boom. Someday we'll stop.
I like the boom boom, Mercedes, bringing something new. Hey, we would love to start with you, Kristen. Do you have some good news to share with us?
I do. So tonight we're going to a instrument petting zoo.
Oh,
do
you know what
instrument petting
zoo is? I'm going to need to know more about this. Yes.
It sounds
great. Fifth grade in our district, the kids have the opportunity to do band. This may not be good news for me, but this is and so we are going to an instrument petting zoo so that he can actually try out the different instruments so he can decide what instrument he wants to be in his fifth grade band class.
Amazing. I love that.
So cool.
So I'll update you.
Okay. Thank you. Please do.
What he chooses.
And this is just a reminder to all our listeners out there. You can email us your good news at The Lucky Few Pod. Wait, what's our email, y'all?
Oh, Andy's here. Help us out, Andy.
The email for listeners to...
Yeah, go to our website and click on Share Your Good News.
Yes.
Everything's there. TheLuckyFewPodcast.com. Go there to find all the things you'll need.
Awesome. And we also love... In life. We also love to hear our listeners' voices. And so if you guys want to leave us voicemail good news, just jump on there. Tell us your good news. And share what you want to share.
I have some good news from Monique Roth. Her daughter is Madison Shoemaker, who is 16 years old. They live in Corona, California. And this one makes me nervous, but I'm very excited too. So Madison, her daughter, just went away for 5 days at sleepaway camp. My children are never doing that, nor are they ever leaving my home. I'm just kidding.
She's kidding.
Maybe. And she had the best time ever. She danced, she sang, she swam, met new friends, totally took care of herself. It was hard to be without her, but she was independent, sassy, and fun.
I love that.
Oh my gosh, that is good news. And I'm so happy about that. And Mason and Augie, one day I'll let you go.
Alrighty. And I have some good news to share too from a listener. This listener's little love bug, Welly, signs love. I know. And Welly is 17 months old.
Oh my gosh.
And he recently had surgery and for ear tubes and lip and tongue ties. And she's also being very encouraging, saying thanks for all you mamas and what you do. So if you guys want to just text us that too.
Oh my God.
Encouraging as you can.
Welly's signing love.
Yes, wonderful job, Welly. And praying that those surgeries went well. And I think they did. So awesome. Thank
good
you.
News.
So is there anything better than a little baby signing love? And
no. I can't.
And he's picture got, of Welly.
Yeah, he's
is
got some chunk
much.
To him. And it's he, the best.
He we'll put it on does. The show notes. Goodness gracious. Thanks again to Kristen Enriquez. You can find her Instagram and Facebook at Stan421. And if you'd like to get in touch with her by email, you can find her at Sevi's Smile. That's Sevi with an I. Sevi'sSmile@gmail.com. And we'll have links in our show notes to all of those. Kristen, thanks for joining us 2 weeks in a row. And for giving us such good information as we all seek to give our kids the education they are entitled to have.
That's right.
Yes. Yes.
Right, Mercedes?
Boom. So right.
It is not a favor.
No.
It's a civil right.
Go to school.
Go to school, everybody. And thanks to Love Every for sponsoring this episode. And thanks always to our amazing editor-producer, Andy Lara. Remember, if you love the Lucky Few podcast, share it with a friend. Subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. And ladies and listeners, get out there. Know your child's rights. We are strong and we can do this. So let's go make the world an amazing place for the people we love with Down syndrome. See you next week on the Lucky Few podcast.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Lucky Few podcast. Review our show on iTunes and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Follow us on all social media at the Lucky Few Pod. Subscribe on our website for ongoing updates at theluckyfewpodcast.com. Tell us about your good news by leaving us a voicemail or text at 424-442-9147. Our show is edited and produced by Andy Lara at andylikeswords.com. See you next time.